Leviticus 25, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to say hello today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We count it a great honor and privilege to come this way week after week with a biblical, historical, constitutional message. There are many resources to study the Bible, study history, study the Constitution, but not many places can you find all three things in one place. And so that's what we try to stay around, hang around, linger around, and of course put the Bible first and foremost. But we thank you for listening in today, and what a great message it is that we can proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Of course, real, true liberty only comes by and through a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for that today. But before we get started, I want to say good morning to everyone. And I want to say good morning to Noah. I appreciate him and all he does. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And I want to say welcome to all our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners. We want to say welcome to those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone. And then our listeners on Saturdays who listen in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. And we do thank you once again for listening in today. And I want to announce this before I get started. I've recently written a book. It's been published. It's called Today's Proverb. And it is a devotional. It has 366 separate devotionals. Of course, that's one for every day of the year and even leap year, whenever that is. And so that'll get you one for every day of the year. This is available now locally. You can go by the Grace Bible Baptist Bookstore. That is located at 3216 Highway 421 North, just outside of the Boone city limits on Highway 421 North. If you're going out of Boone, it's on the right going down the mountain in the old white building there that the florist shop used to be in. And if you are not in the listening area and you would like to have a book, we can mail that to you. The Grace Bible Bookstore is going to take care of that for us. And they have the ability to take a credit card over the phone and take care of that. I believe with shipping and handling and everything, it would be about $20. And Brother Daniel Trantham is the owner of the bookstore, him and his wife, Lana. And if you are out of the listening area, I'm going to give you a phone number. You could call 828-263-2935. And that is, once again, 828-263-2935. That's the Grace Bible Baptist Bookstore. And we'd love for you to get a copy of this. We're going to send some out today. We had an order for 40 books from a church in Arizona. And so we're going to send those out. But we appreciate the Lord opening the door for us to enter into this phase of our ministry. I've wanted to write for a long time, and getting into it now and published a book, and nothing good I can say about me, but I thank God for his grace and his help in our lives. We cannot do anything without the Lord. But I want to begin today in the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book, and it deals with the subject of Gentile kings and kingdoms. And so it's unique in the books in the Old Testament. That's primarily what it deals with. Of course, it's a book of prophecy as well. And it deals with the kingdoms, the kings and kingdoms, different nations upon the earth. We could call it the rise and fall of nations if you really studied in the book of Daniel. That's the vision that Daniel has. Of course, he interprets that vision as well. But if I was going to give a title to the subject today, how I want to apply this and what I want to communicate to you today, I would call it, "Is this the beginning of the end of Obama. Is this the beginning of the end for Obama? Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 21, I want to read a verse over there, and this says, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings." This is talking about the Lord God. Now, this is what he does. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So the Bible says there about the Lord, what he does. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. And history is full of many, many examples of the rise and fall of kings and rulers, both inside the Bible and, of course, outside of the Bible. Sometimes kings are overthrown by another king. Sometimes kings, rulers, they just die. And sometimes they are replaced by another king or another ruler, biblically and historically. I'm going to give you three things to begin with today, and I've got more information that I'll probably be able to even get out. But historically, biblically, I want to give you some key factors in the removal of leadership. God does set up kings, and he does remove kings. The number one factor in God removing a king, or I don't know that I'd say number one, but one of, I'm going to give you three, would be just simply pride. Over and over and over again in the Bible, we see there's warnings against pride. Satan himself was cast out of heaven because of his pride. Isaiah chapter number 14, you can read that over there. He became full of pride. He said, "I want to be like God. I want to be like the Most High. I will ascend above the stars of the north. I'll sit on God's throne." That was the desire of Lucifer. Well, God cast him out of heaven because of his pride and his rebellion. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, "Pride goeth before destruction." You really ought to turn over there in your Bible and underline that verse of Scripture. Pride goeth before destruction. There's only four words there, but my, what volumes it speaks. We could draw hundreds of examples from history about people that were lifted up in pride and then destroyed because of their pride. And so the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I don't know how much you read the news, watch the news, but I think when they take a picture of Mr. Obama, instead of saying smile or cheese, they must call out to him and say, "Stick your nose in the air and look haughty." Because I'm telling you, all over the internet news, you will find pictures all over the newspapers. I'm amazed at how many times I've noticed this over the past 4 years, this haughty look upon, maybe that's just, maybe he's not trying to look that way, but he acts very prideful, very haughty. There's a marked absence of any type of humility about the man whatsoever. Pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. But we must move on. Number two, one of the key factors in God removing or replacing leadership in a nation is not only pride, but wickedness, great wickedness, and forgetting the commandments of God. We could give many examples from the Bible. I was reading this morning over in Daniel chapter 5. And in Daniel chapter number 5, we see an example over there of a king that God removed. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1, the man's name was Belshazzar. I guess you could say that either way. The king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. But here's what the Bible says in verse 5 and verse number 6. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, many of you, whether you know anything about the Bible or not, you are familiar with the phrase that we say, we hear quite often, the writing on the wall. The writing on the wall. Wonder where that comes from. That comes from the Bible. I just throw that in. Verse number 6, it said, then the king's countenance was changed. He's been partying. He's been drinking. He's been carousing around with his wives and concubines and Hollywood and the media and the journalists and the other people in his kingdom there. Boy, they've been having a grand old party. But when the king saw the writing on the wall, the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts was changed. His thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. You ever heard anybody say, I was so scared my knees were knocking? Wonder where that comes from. Comes from the Bible. The Bible said his knees smote one against another. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but I'm going to skip on down to verse number 22. They sent for Daniel. Daniel had interpreted a vision for Nebuchadnezzar. So they said, there's a man in the kingdom. He knows God. He has wisdom. They sent for Daniel. Daniel came and gave the message to the king. Verse 22, and thou, here's Daniel speaking to the king, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Notice he didn't have humbleness. Has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He said, you knew what the Lord did in your father's life, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass. And it goes on down. Here's the interpretation. He said, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many tekel upsharin. And Daniel says, this is the interpretation of the thing, many. He said, God, here's what it means. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Do you know God is able to number kingdoms? God will allow somebody to come into a position, and God will put somebody out of that position. Just like in Belshazzar's case, he said, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, he said, this is what it means. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God weighs our actions. God weighs our life. God looks at it. God is not sick. God is not dead. God knows what's going on in the world. Verse 28, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And by the next morning, Belshazzar was out and the Medes and the Persians were in. Wickedness. Think about what's going on in our government. One scandal right after another. White House parties, Hollywood stars, lavish vacations, beer summits, gay pride celebrations, promotion and encouragement of the homosexual lifestyle. Mr. Obama was the first president to ever speak to Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider in our country. He said, we are with you. We stand behind you. And imagine this. When he got done, he said, God bless you. That to me is evidence of a darkened mind. It really doesn't even know what they're talking about. That you could go to an abortion provider and say, God bless you at the end of your speech. Wickedness and forgetting God. God will judge a nation for that. God will judge a leader for that. And number three, there is the treatment of the Jewish people. God judges nations based on how they treat the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. Many, many examples we could give from the Bible of this. But I'm just going to read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. The Bible says there, if you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Now, you let somebody come up and poke their finger in your eye, and you will, by reflex, you might punch them in the nose. You might brush their hand away. You're going to jump. You're going to react when somebody comes and touches your eye. And God said, you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of God's eye. That will draw a reaction from the Lord. You see, God made a promise. God made a covenant with Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, God told Abraham, he said, and I will bless them that bless thee. We focus on that a whole lot. Oh, bless Israel. God will bless us if we're good to Israel. But you know what it also says? It doesn't only say, I will bless them that bless thee. It says, and curse him that curseth thee. God said, if anybody's not good to you, Abraham, God said, I'll put a curse on them. And so that still applies today. That Abrahamic covenant, that was an unconditional, everlasting, eternal covenant. And it is still in effect today. Anybody that knows anything about Mr. Obama knows that he's been anything but a friend to Israel. If he's a friend, I mean, if you had friends like that, you really wouldn't need any enemies. He's been a friend to the enemies of Israel. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. They have, through the whole history of their nation, been our best ally, our friend. We have stood together, and Mr. Obama's done about everything in his power to destroy and tear that down and stand not with Israel, but stand with our enemies. The nations round about that hate Israel and want to see the democracy there destroyed in that nation, that's who Mr. Obama has been a friend to. I trust that all of our listeners, you're already familiar with the current troubles and scandals of the Obama administration. There are many of these going on right now. I'll just mention a few of them. I believe this is the Lord beginning to judge the Obama administration. Look at all the trouble. Not just in the nation. There's a lot of trouble going on in our country, but specifically with the Obama administration. There's the Benghazi attack, the terrorist attack of September 11th, 2012. The State Department, the White House, they all came out in unison. They said this is the result of a YouTube video. And the Muslims, the radical Islamists, they are revolting over this video. Well, that was a blatant, bald-faced lie. They were lying about that. That was not over that video. They didn't even know what was going on in relation to a video here in America about a movie that had never been made. What a fairy tale. What a lie. But it was a terrorist attack that took place. Well, the administration has taken a lot of heat over this. And they're even talking about this word's coming along. Impeachment. This is an impeachable offense, lying to the American people about such a thing as this. Well, he's got trouble going on in his administration. There is the unconstitutional seizing of the Associated Press phone records, the abuse of the judicial system involving the Department of Justice and the Attorney General Eric Holder. He's in all kinds of trouble. He's been caught lying. This is trouble going on in the Obama administration. They can't even do what they want to do because they're having to juggle and handle all this controversy that's going on. God allows things to go on, and then God brings a stop to it. Number three, there's the use and the abuse of the IRS to target conservative groups. I'm sure everybody's heard a little bit about that. The head of the IRS visited the White House one time during the years of George W. Bush. The head of the IRS in the past 4 years has visited the White House more than 157 times. 157 times the head of the IRS has gone to the White House. I haven't visited my mama 157 times in the past 4 years. You don't think something's going on with that? You don't think that's a smoking gun, so to speak, that there is corruption at the highest levels of our country? That's just a few of the things that are going on. Let me quickly just give you some historical facts concerning presidents that have touched Israel. The past four presidents, I'm going to give you some examples. George H.W. Bush. He begins the Madrid peace talks in October of 1991. The Madrid peace talks became the Oslo Accords under Clinton. They became the roadmap for peace under President Bush, but they're all the same thing. They stem from this Madrid peace talks. October of 1991, Gulf War is over. George H.W. Bush had after the Gulf War, he had a 92% approval rating. I do not believe there's ever been a president in the United States that had a higher approval rating than George H.W. Bush had after the Gulf War. Well, for what reason? Only the Lord knows. But he begins to see every president since him, they want to become famous and bring peace in Jerusalem. Well, that's a whole nother thing. Well, he starts this Madrid peace talks. And there's always this talk of land for peace, land for peace. That's a lie that has never worked. But anyway, that's what he gets on this bandwagon. Within 1 year of starting that, he's defeated in a presidential election by one of the most notorious liars, womanizers, and shady characters of all time, Bill Clinton. How would you like to go to your grave knowing you'd been defeated by Bill Clinton? He loses a 92% approval rating in less than a year and gets defeated. You touch Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye, God will touch you. And so there's the beginning of the end for George H.W. Bush. Second of all, there's Bill Clinton. I could give many, many examples. There's Bill Clinton in 1998. He's been on this Oslo Peace Accords. He's trying to divide the land and land for peace and all of these things. He's pressuring Benjamin Netanyahu to give up land for peace. And so he's scheduled to meet Benjamin Netanyahu in 1998. I believe the month was January. But he comes to America under great pressure. Benjamin Netanyahu comes to America under great pressure by our government to give up land for peace. At the same time, Mr. Netanyahu's government in Israel is pressuring him not to give up land for peace. So this means, I mean Benjamin Netanyahu, if he comes to America and gives up land for peace, he's going to go home a dog. He's going to go home a traitor. But he comes to America and he's supposed to meet with Bill Clinton. And so he comes to the White House. He meets with Mr. Clinton. He's under great pressure to bow down and do what the American government is wanting him to do, but the Israeli government is pressuring him to do the exact opposite of that. And if Clinton's plan works, Clinton is a hero. Netanyahu goes home a dog. But you know what? It just so happened at that same exact time that meeting was supposed to take place, the sex scandal involving Bill Clinton becomes headline news in America. As a result of that breaking news concerning Mr. Clinton and his womanizing and his affairs and all of these things, the meeting with Mr. Netanyahu is cut short. Mr. Netanyahu goes home a hero in his country because he did not give in to pressure. He did not give up land for peace, as they talk about. And Mr. Clinton ends up looking like an idiot. And he was. Anybody that would do what he did, that was dumb. And so he's made a mockery out of. Everybody remembers him testifying before Congress and lying and said, well, what do you mean by he's made a fool out of. That's one of the greatest examples of a modern day Haman and Mordecai, Book of Esther example that I can think of. But Mr. Netanyahu goes home a hero. Do you know what? That's the beginning of the end for Bill Clinton. You touch the apple of God's eye, God will touch your eye. You're wicked, God will remove you. You're full of pride, God will destroy you. These are principles we find in the Bible. And then there are too many things to mention with regards to the presidency of George W. Bush. But one example, there's a lot of things went on during George W. Bush's term. But one of the final nails in his coffin that he will forever be remembered of, one is what happened on 9/11. That happened on his watch. You think that's not the judgment of God? It is. He had said 1 month before 9/11, there was a suicide bomber in Israel that he killed a bunch of people, and Mr. Bush had made a speech, and he had said about that, he condemned the terrorist attack, he condemned the suicide bomber, but he demanded that Israel have negotiations with the terrorist. 1 month later, we find out terrorists are not very easy to negotiate with, and we have been engaged in an unwinnable war with terrorists ever since. You touch the apple of God's eye, God will touch the apple of your eye. God will touch you. But the final nail in the presidency of George W. Bush, one thing Mr. Bush really pushed for was for the evacuation of 25 Jewish settlements in Gaza and Samaria. Now, that's their land. But Bush is pressuring them to evacuate those settlements, get out of Gaza and Samaria. On August 23rd, as the last Jewish settlers were being evacuated forcibly from their homes in Gaza. I was reading about that. Some of them climbed up on their roofs. Some of the Jewish settlers had climbed up on their roofs to resist being forcibly evacuated. Do you know at that same time, on that same day, August 23rd, there was a tropical depression that was upgraded to a tropical storm named Katrina that turned into the worst hurricane our nation, I guess, has ever seen. And while shortly after Jewish settlers are climbing on their roofs, forced to be evacuated, the same thing is happening here in America, but it's because, and by far, more thousands of people are evacuated, dispersed, lose their homes destroyed. And Bush is going to forever be remembered for his mishandling of what happened because of Katrina. Now, bring it up to the present day. Just a few weeks ago, I read an article, and I noticed it. I just jumped off the page at me. It said in the article, this was about May the 10th or 11th. I couldn't find it again. But it was the early, middle part of May. And there was an article. It said, lowest number of tornadoes recorded in years. And when I seen that, I thought, boy, that's interesting. I guess there's not been many tornadoes this year. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, as Mr. John Kerry is packing his bags for a trip to Israel, now he's the head of state where Hillary Clinton, he took her place. He's packing his bags to go to Israel to start up again the peace process. This is something he's been working on for several months now. And while he's packing his bags to go over there, there's a storm system develops over Texas. And on May the 20th, Moore, Oklahoma, is struck by a tornado that's worse than the one in 1999. There's also been massive fires in California where over 4,000 people have had to flee their homes. Flash flooding in Texas where lives have been lost because of that. Under Obama, Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, Fort Hood, Gabby Giffords, food stamp president. The economy's in the tank. Obamacare is going to be one of the greatest disasters in our nation, and on and on and on. Is this a judgment of God? Well, look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Well, our time is quickly gone. I appreciate you listening. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. We'd love to hear from you. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Thank you for listening in today.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.